Welcome to Gemara Markings. Here is Menachas Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur, the second line from the bottom of Daf Yud Tes Omid Beis. You'll notice that we have a triangle. In fact, we are in the middle of a discussion that we started toward the end of our previous shiur. The general topic that we have been dealing with is what establishes that a particular act in the sacrificial service is considered binding, without which one would not fulfill his sacrificial requirement. We saw earlier on Yud Tes Omid Beis Rav and Shmuel addressing this topic. Rav mentioned that any time in the Torah that it repeats a particular law, that law is binding, which leaves one to infer that if it's not repeated, then it's not necessarily binding. In the middle of Yud Tes Omid Beis, we have a diamond around Rav, at which point the Gemara turns its attention and focuses on Rav's teaching and points out two questions. One is Hagosha. You can see this has been double underlined, and we discussed this in our previous shiur. And the point at which today's shiur will begin is also double underlined. The word Melach, you can see at the bottom line. In the case of Hagosha, the question was raised that it is repeated in Pusuk wise, and yet it doesn't seem to be binding. The Gemara dealt with that. Today's shiur, we begin with vantage point, something that doesn't seem to be repeated, and yet it is binding. So let us begin the Gemara, bearing in mind that we're in the middle of a back and forth structure. This triangle with the point facing up represents a question. Maskiflo Rav Huna, Hare Melach. Take, for example, the instance of salting. Salting, applying salt to sacrifices. The lo tana beikra, the issue of salting does not appear to be repeated, ume'akfa, and yet it is binding in the sacrificial process. Desanya, the Tanaic source begins here, and you can see there is a frame around it as we mark all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. The source begins, bris melach olam hu. This is a quote from the Pasuk. Shetehei bris amura b'melach, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Salt represents a covenant, a bond between the Almighty and the Jewish people. The idea of a covenant, Rashi explains at the top, bris amura b'melach shelo tafsik mikorbonos, that it shall not cease, it shall always be in sacrifices. There is another opinion in this source that really does not represent another opinion. It's another name, and Rashi points out that whether it be Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon, they basically agree with the halacha, and that the salt is binding, and the difference is from where do they see that in a scriptural sense. Rav Shimon Omer, Ne'emar kan bris melach olam hu, v'ne'emar lahalon bris kuhunas olam. And in another pasuk it says there is a covenant made between the Kohanim and the Almighty. Keshem she'efshir l'korbonos b'lo kuhuna, just like it's impossible to offer sacrifices without a Kohen involved, kach i'efshir l'korbonos b'lo melach. So too, it's impossible to have a korban without the salt. We see here, in fact, in a very clear fashion, we see from Reb Shimon's presentation that salt is binding. And we pointed out, the question is, the psukim don't seem to repeat the issue of salt, and yet it is binding. Rav said, or Rav certainly implied, that if something is not repeated, salt, for example, then It should not be binding. The Gemara responds, Omar Rav Yosef, Rav Ketano Didan Svirole. Rav holds, like our Mishnah, that says the Omar Lo Molach Kosher. In fact, if the sacrifice was not salted, it is acceptable. So Rav is quite consistent. Here we have an example of something that's not repeated, and in fact Rav will hold, Rav being an Amora, holds like our Mishnah that says Lo Molach, that if the mincha was not salted, kosher, it nevertheless is acceptable. Question. Omale Abaye. Ihochi, if that's how Rav learns the Mishnah, that lo molach means not salted at all, then by the same token, lo yotzak, which the Mishnah teaches is kosher, if it was lo yotzak, that has to do with the pouring of the oil, nami lo yotzak klal. Then it's going to imply that he didn't do any pouring whatsoever. And we know that that's not acceptable if no oil was poured whatsoever. Ela, lo yotzak means kohen, elazar. The Mishnah, when it says lo yotzak, it means that a kohen did not do it, but a zar did do it. So in the case of lo yotzak, Rav certainly is going to have to learn that yitzika, the pouring of oil, was done. Just it's able to be done by a non-kohen. Hochonami, lo molach, kohen, elazar. So by the same token then, with the salting, all the Mishnah is saying that is that a kohen doesn't need to do it, but a zar needs to do it. And in fact then, salting is binding, even though lo tana beikro, even though it's not repeated. This is once again a kasha on what Rav originally said. Rav originally said that only if something is repeated is it binding. Here, then, we are interpreting the Mishnah as saying that the salting is binding even though it's not repeated. And how are we explaining the Mishnah? That lo yotzak means a kohen did not do it. Let's be more accurate. And how are we explaining lo molach then in the Mishnah? Like we explain lo yotzak, that a kohen doesn't do it, doesn't have to do it, but a zar is able to do it. The Gemara responds, Omar Lay. There are two points of response. Number one, V'chita l'adaitcha shezar korev l'mizbeach. Salting is done on the top of the altar. According to this last interpretation then, that you're suggesting that salting is binding, but a zar can do it, that cannot possibly be the explanation of the Mishnah. Would you think that a zar, a non-kohen, can go to the top of the Mizbeach? That's called out of bounds. Only Kohanim are allowed on the Mizbeach. Therefore, if the Mishnah says, lo molach kosher, it can't possibly mean lo molach kohen, but yes, a zar. Rather, lo molach kosher means that lo molach at all, it wasn't salted at all, and that's kosher, and that's in agreement with Rav's teaching. So that's one answer. Iboy Seimo, another approach. Kevon de ksivo be bris, since in the context of salt, the term bris is used, bris meaning covenant, keman de tono be kro damyo. It's as if the issue of salting is a repeated passage, and hence it in fact is binding. And therefore, when we saw the Tanoim at the top saying that the salting is binding, in fact it is, and it doesn't present a kasha on Rav's approach, because as we just said, the word bris appears in the case of the salting. Question. Velo tono beikra. Is it really so that the issue of salting is not repeated? In fact, we see a pasuk that indicates, once again, that you need to salt. And the pasuk says, V'hoksi, v'chol korban minchoscha b'melach timloch. So, the issue of salting, in fact, is repeated. The Gemara says no. That pasuk is not doesn't appear in the Torah for the sake of repeating salting to teach me that it is binding, but rather this pasuk of v'chol korban min chosel b'melech timlach has another role. Miboya le lichidisanya, I need it for the following teaching. We are now going to get into a brisa that discusses these points of law concerning salting and what needs salting. Before proceeding any further, we might note that in our outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, as we are accustomed to in our Gemara marking system. We try to provide topic headings and structural notes entitled Mivneh as new sukkis or new points appear as we go along. In this case, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we've also indicated that this will keep us preoccupied till Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. And the issue concerns Mosai Amrinon de Korban Boy Melach. When under what circumstances is it said that a sacrifice requires salt? That will be the purpose of this pasuk, V'chol Korban Min Choscha B'Melach Timlach. It will be used in the, it will be cited in the following Tanaic source. So the Gemara answers, and we should note that we have the inverted triangle, which represents a response that appears at the beginning of this line, which leaves us with the issue of salt being binding, possibly because of the two answers we gave before, of the Tzar certainly is not going to be the one to go onto the Mizbeach, and the second answer that the term bris appears by salting, indicating that it's binding, but not a function of a pasuk that actually repeats the mitzvah of salting, because what is brought in as the potential pasuk that repeats salting is used for something else. So the Gemara answers, Hahu miboyale lichedisanyo, I need it for the following. Ilu nema korbun b'melach, shomea ani. We should point out that the pasuk that we're dealing with has been cited on the side, on the inside margin of our marked Gemara's Vayikra Beis, pasuk Yud Gimel. Let us read the pasuk just to get a feeling of the words that are going to be darshened. The pasuk says, V'chol korban min choscho ba'melach timloch, v'lo isash bis melach briso lekecho me'al min chosecho, al kol korboncho takriv melach. So, had the pasuk said, the Brisa teaches, Korban b'melach, Shome'ani, I would have thought, Afilu eitzim v'dam shenikru'u korban. I would have thought that even the wood and the blood has to be salted, as they too are called korban. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk says, Mincha. The pasuk actually says, if we glance at the side, it says v'chol korban min choscha b'melach timlach. It doesn't say v'chol korban b'melach, all inclusive of anything that's called a korban, but rather there is a limitation. The pasuk says chol korban min choscha, your meal offerings. Of course, at the end of the day, we're not going to limit salting to meal offerings. However, it does serve to limit, and at this point at least, we're excluding Eitzim and Dam, which even though they are called Korban, nevertheless, they do not require salting. So how do I know they don't require salting? Because of this qualification or limitation, the word Minchoscha. Ma Mincho Miuchedes Shachirim Boin Choyvala, just like Mincho is special or unique in the sense that other things come as a necessity for the mincha, very simply, wood. You need wood in order to burn the handful of the meal offering. So, achirim bo'in chovola is a reference to wood. So just like the mincha is something that has other elements that come as a requirement for it. Af kol sha'achirim bo'in chovala. So too, anything else that needs wood, let us say. That kind of thing needs salting. Blood, on the other hand, doesn't need wood. The blood is applied to the sides of the Mizbeach. The wood itself that's used on the top of the Mizbeach doesn't need other wood. Hence, Dam and Eitzim don't have the characteristic of a Mincha. A Mincha is that which has something else that is required for it. Eitzim and Dam, wood and blood, don't have something else that is a requirement for them. Question: Ima mincha miuchedes shemateres af kol shematir. On the other hand, maybe if the pasuk is citing mincha as the archetype for that which requires salting, maybe let us emphasize this aspect of mincha. And that is that the handful that is put on the top of the Mizbeach and burnt is a matir. It allows the shirayim, the balance, to be consumed by the Kohanim. So, from that aspect, that the mincha is a matir, and it requires salting, maybe we should include blood. The sprinkling of the blood of a korban is matir, allows the meat of that sacrifice to be consumed. So, we're making a full circle around and coming back and suggesting maybe by the fact that the pasuk cites minchascha and telling me that that is an example of that which needs salting, so too blood does need salting. Talmud Lomar, so we, another round, so to speak, we now will exclude blood once again. Me'al minchascha, the pasuk says. This is what we read in the pasuk, pasuk Yud Gimel, the latter part of the pasuk. It said, Me'al minchasecha. V'lo me'al domecha. The pasuk instructed, do not allow the salt to cease from the mincha. The mincha is where you have to have salting, not blood. Yochol tehe mincha kula te'una melach. When we talk about the mincha requiring salting, do we intend to say that even the shirayim, the balance, the remainder after the handful is offered also needs salting? Talmud Lomar, korbon. Korbon, Ton Mel. Korbon is that which is put on the fire. That's the kometz, the handful. That requires salting. The pasuk had mentioned korban minchascha. So the korban, the handful, needs salting. Ve'ein mincha kula te'una melach. But the entire, as opposed to the balance of the mincha, which constitutes the remainder, that does not require salting. Ve'ein li ela kometz. At this point, then, we've established that only the handful of a meal offering needs salting. Minayin l'rabois es halavona. From where do I know that the lavona spice that accompanies the mincha, which is also burnt on the fire, how do I know that the lavona needs to be salted? Answer: Marbe ani es halavona shekein bo imo bekli echad. The lavona is included in salting in that it comes together with the mincha in the same vessel. Minayin l'rabois es halavoina habo bifnei atzmo. At this point, the Brisa is going to go on with a question concerning numerous examples. From where do I know that all of the following examples that we haven't read yet will also require salting? So, from where do I know to include lavona that comes by itself? That's a situation where a person accepted as a vow to bring Lavona to the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi cites as an example, for example, someone who says, Hare Olai Lavona. Someone who says, it is upon me, I obligate myself to bring Lavona. And the Gemara says later in the Masechta that one shall bring no less than a handful of Lavona. Well, if someone does bring an isolated handful of Lavona as a sacrificial offering, it needs to be salted. Well, how do I know that? And further questions, Ulavona habo bebozichin. That's the Lavona that comes together with the Lechem Haponim that we've cited in numerous times in some in our previous Gemaras. How do I know that the that Lavona, this Lavona that comes in the Bazichin receptacles that sit on the Lechem, on the Shulchan of the Lechem Haponim from Shabbos to Shabbos, when they are offered on the Mizbeach on Shabbos, that they need to be salted. The Haktores Minchas Kohanim. How do I know that the Ktores needs salting? How do I know that a Mincha brought by Kohanim, the nature of a Mincha brought by Kohanim is such that there is no Kemitza taken, the entire bowl of Mincha is put into the fire. And a Minchas Kohen Moshiach, that's what we call Minchas Chavitin, the daily meal offering that the Kohen Godol brings, U Minchas Nesachim. This is a Mincha that accompanies animal offerings. That too is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. The Emurei Chatos, the innards of an animal offering, a sin offering, the Emurei Osham, these innards of an Osham sacrifice. The Emurei Kodshei Kodshim. Interesting expression. We just said it cited Chatos and Oshem. They are examples of Kodshei Kodshim. So what is this coming to include? So the Rashi points out that this is coming to include the innards of what's called Zivchei Shalmei Tzibor, a Korban Shlomim that's brought by the public. There is a unique example of that, namely the Kivsei Atzeres. Those are the sheep that are brought on Shavuos along with the that comes along with the sheep, the Shtei HaLechem, which we discussed at length in previous Gemaras. Anyway, the innards of the Kivsei Atzeres also, how do I know that they need to be salted? The Emurei Kodshim Kalim, the innards of light level sanctity sacrifices, like a Korban Shlomim, how do I know they need to be salted? The Evorei Ola, an Ola is a Korban, is an animal sacrifice, none of which is eaten, the entire meat of that animal is placed on the fire, and hence the term Evorei Ola, all the limbs of the Ola need to be salted. From where do I know that? The Olas Ha'oif, a bird offering, the bird offering is placed completely into the fire. Minayin, from where do I know that all of these aforementioned examples need salting? Talmud Lomar, Al Kol Korboncho Takriv Melach. You can see that the Brisa ended over here, and as we mentioned before, the Pasuk of Echol Korban Minchoso Bemelach Timlach was not brought to repeat the need for salting, but rather to help identify what things need to be salted, as we just learned in the Brisa. At this point, though, the Gemara now is going to go over the Brisa and point out some difficulties that need to be resolved in the reading and that which we just learned. We have a quote from the Brisa, Omar Mar, Ein Li Ela Koimetz. If one has any trouble finding where this quote comes from, we've provided a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, the Gemara text, that is, between the Gemara and the Rashi. If you skim up and find a parallel star, you will note where this quote is coming from. So it had taught in the source that I would know only the handful needs salt, a handful of the meal offering. Minayin l'rabois es halavoina. From where do I know to include the lavona that it too needs salting? Marbani es halavona shekein bo imo b'kli echad. The virtue of the lavona is that it comes together with the komets in the same vessel. The Gemara asks, what do I need this section of the Brisa for? We've already established the need for the Lavona needing salt from a previous comment in the source. V'ho Amris, you'll notice there's an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim up the page, you'll find another arrow, and that indicates where this quote is coming from. So the Gemara is asking, but we already said, Ma mincha miyuchedes she'acherim bo'in choyva lo. Just like the mincha is unique in that it is something that other items come for it, from that we could have learned the lavona also needs to be salted, because the lavona, being that it is burnt with the fuel, the wood. The wood comes for the lavona. So lavona also fits under this description of achirim boin. Achirim being the wood, boin comes, chova lo, as a need for it, for the lavona. And the Rashi points out, a few lines down from here, you can see the whole amris ma mincha miyuchedesh shachirim boyin v'chulei omei hasam. From that point in the brisa, namely from the fact that the pasuk cites mincha, and mincha is to serve as an example, from there omei hasam irbaya lavona. I can learn, I can include lavona v'kulu hanoch and all the other items ditzrichim eitzim, anything else that needs wood for its consumption. V'al kol korban chasu lomali. So what do I need the citation of al kol korban cha that you see at the end of the brisa? Once again, from the opening of the brisa, I could have figured out that all of these other items need to be salted by virtue of the fact that all of the other items cited in the brisa, including lavona, need the wood for their burning. So in that sense, they resemble the mincha, in that the mincha needs achirim boyin choyvala, it needs the wood for its burning. Anything else that needs the wood for its burning will need salting. So we could have wrapped up the whole discussion right there at the beginning of the brisa. The Gemara answers, Hochi ko'omar. The brisa is to be understood in a more elaborate fashion than we presented things till now. The brisa had mentioned Eini Elo Koimetz. That expression, you can see, is at the line where the star, the first star, appeared. That, in effect, is a type of reversal from that which was cited at the beginning of the brisa. At the beginning of the brisa, we said, just like the mincha or the kometz is something that other things, the wood is needed for, other things are needed for it, so to anything. And then the brisa seems to say, at the line with the star on it, well, I only know kometz. But you got finished saying before that I don't know only kometz. Why here does the brisa turn around and say, well, I know only kometz? So the reason for the turnaround is, and the Gemara will point this out, because when I learn the posuk, the chol korban min choscha, b'melech timlach, maybe I should have approached it from a different standpoint or different style of learning. The Gemara will suggest what's called a klal uprat style, namely a general rule and then a limitation. Klal is general, prat limitation or detail. When you have a pasuk set up in a klal uprat fashion, you in fact limit the topic to the example cited. If we were to approach the pasuk like that, then mincha cannot serve as an example for other things, but rather mincha becomes a limitation expression, and I would then be left with what we saw in the brisa at the turnaround point, where it says, well, I only know kometz, how am I to know anything else? Now, after we've spoken that out, we will continue with the Gemara, but before we do that, we should note that we're going to introduce a new marking. You can see at the side of the Gemara, the outside margin under our Mivneh structural note, we've indicated that this will continue to Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. This is a rather long discussion as things go. We are going to use the trapezoid or volcano shape to indicate a Ma'akav. Ma'akav is the attempt to keep track of a back and forth discussion, a give and take. With the narrow part facing up, that represents kushos, questions or difficulties. With the narrow part facing downwards, tshuvos, responses, answers. And as we said, bear in mind that this need to keep track of the discussion will continue till Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Gemara explains, why did the Braisa make the turnaround when it said Ein li ela koimetz? When at the beginning of the Braisa we said that in fact the word mincha represents simply an example of that which requires salting, and we can expand that to other things. The Gemara answers, Hochi ko'omar, Emo korban klal. The word korban that appeared at the beginning of the pasuk is in fact a general expression. Mincha equals prat. That represents a detail. Don't forget, we're talking about salting. So I have a klal and prat. The result of that is klalu prat ein b'chal ila mashim b'prat. The general topic of example of things that need salting is not going to be expanded anywhere beyond the example itself that was cited. And the result of that is mincha in midi achrin olo. I would therefore know only a mincha needs salting and not anything else. Hoder Omar, then it goes on to say, al kol korboncha. The pasuk itself, in the continuation of the pasuk, you see this expression, al kol korboncha, and you can constantly refer to the quoted pasuk that we have on the side of the Gemara, Vayikra Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel. This expression represents chozar v'kolal, a continuation of the formula, if you will, of the pasuk, whereby after the detail, you then revert back to a general teaching, al kol korboncha, general citation or general reference to all sacrifices. Oh, so this is now not a structure of klal uprat, which was severely limiting, but rather klal uprat uklal. And when you have something like that, you are allowed to expand beyond the specific detail mentioned in the pasuk. And the rule is iato don elo kein haprat. When you want to expand to include other things, in this case that would need salting, you are to compare whatever else you want to include to the example, to the prat that is cited. Maha prat mefurosh, the prat in this case is the mincha. Just like the prat is clear, she'achirim bo'in choyvala, other things are needed for it, and for example, the wood. And isn't it interesting to note how as you went on in the Braisa, you end up coming full circle around to that which was mentioned at the beginning of the Braisa. We noted at the third line of the Tanaic source that's in a frame above, in the narrow lines of the Gemara, third line meaning from the Tanaic source, the beginning of which had an inverted triangle at the beginning of the line, on the third line of that source, it mentioned, Ma mincha miyuchedes shachem bo'in chavolah. In fact, after citing the second klal of the pasuk of al kol korboncha, I come around to that point once again. Just like the mincha is clear, it is something achirin boin chovala. It is something that needs other things to accompany it, namely the wood. Af kol sheachirim boin chovala. So to any other item that has other things that accompany it or are needed for it. The Gemara clarifies, achirim deboin chovala mai nihu. What is intended, what is meant by that expression, that when referring to the mincha, we say other things are needed for it. What is that? Eitzim, the wood. The wood is needed for the mincha, for its burning. Af kol, eitzim, so too, anything else that needs wood will need to be salted, following the example set by mincha. The Gemara asks, Emo. Here we will read the parentheses section in accordance with the note right under the Gemara text from the Tzoyin Kotchim, from the Tzak. He says, read this as follows. Maybe we should say, Achirim deboyin choyvolo mai. He adds the word mai, nihu. The idea of that we saw by the mincha, that other things are needed for it, for the mincha. What is that? Levoina. We know that when you bring a meal offering, which is the primary substance there is grain-based flour. In addition to that, the levona accompanies it. So maybe we should say that the levona is that which fulfills this requirement of achirim boin choyvala. and not wood. The achir bo and chovelo will be the labona. The icy dam, and then we should include blood as needing salting, because blood has the same characteristic in the sense the ikon esachim, the wine and oil, the liquids that come as part of the nesachim, the accompanying offering to the blood, which is the main part of an animal sacrifice. So an animal sacrifice has accompanying it the nesachim. Let's go over this point again. Just like the mincha, the meal offering, has lavona that accompanies it, so to an animal sacrifice, which is the central significance of the animal sacrifice is the blood, nesachim accompany it. The result would be that the nesachim the nesachim will therefore necessitate the dam to be salted, just like we said the lavona would necessitate the mincha to be salted. However, we are not going to go so far as to include all things that need wood. The Gemara answers, nesachim behadi emurin hu da'asu. Nesachim come together with the innards. In other words, the nesachim are not associated with the blood. It seems to me that we can point parenthetically that in the case of the innards, that's something that if the innards are not offered at all, in the event that you, let's say, lost the innards, the korban still is kosher. So that if you ascribe the nesachim to the innards, you're in effect, demoting or lowering the significance of the nesachim. Whereas if you associate the nesachim with the blood is the essential part of the korban. In this case, since we're associating the nesachim with the emurim, we're in effect saying that as far as the dam is concerned, you don't have achirim bo'in choyvola. Now, why do I want to associate the nesachim with the emurim? My taimo, achila ushtia. We'll call it an abstract sense. We are going to view the emurim, which is organs, innards of an animal, but that's placed on the fire. That's the mizbeach eats, so to speak, eats that. Along with eating, there is drinking, and that's referred to by the nesachim, the wine which accompanies animal offerings. So you have achila shtia. Therefore, I associate nesachim with the emurim, and not with the dam. The Gemara asks, well, adarabba, to the contrary, I will associate nesachim with the dam because kapora v'simcha. Kapora is the atonement. Atonement is achieved through the blood application to the mizbeach. Once a person receives his atonement, he is full of happiness, and happiness is expressed or is associated with wine. The pasuk says v'yayin yisamach levav enosh. Wine is a vehicle to achieve happiness. So that wine, being that it's associated with happiness, is related to the blood which affords a person his atonement. After receiving atonement, a person is happy. So why is it that we don't say that the nesachim are in fact associated with the blood and thereby require the blood to be salted? Ella, levina, rather, you cannot parallel the issue of nesachim as coming for the dam, even if you want to insist kapora v'simcha, with the case of the example set by Levona and the Mincha. So that even if you want to insist that Nesachim are associated with the blood, nevertheless, I won't derive the need for salting of the blood from the case of Levona that comes for the Mincha, because there still is a big difference. Ela Levona bo imo b'kli echad. Nesachim ein boyin b'kli echad. Levona comes together with the mincha in the same vessel. The wine doesn't come together with the blood in the same vessel. Therefore, to use the levona relationship to the mincha as an archetype for other things, that I will not do. On the other hand, I know that I am supposed to use mincha as an example to include other things by virtue of the fact that we have a klal pratu klal structure. Therefore, I'm going to look at the original aspect of achirim boyin chovola, not as we suggested the lavona, but rather eitzim the wood, aval eitzim. The Gemara goes on to say, ki hechi de miskashibu mincha, just like the mincha is processed, receives its acceptability through the wood. When we say acceptability, we mean that the offering becomes possible through the presence of the wood. Hachi miskashibu kulu korbanos. Thusly, all other sacrifices are accepted through the presence of the wood serving as their fuel. Question. The Amo Maha Prat Mufurosh. Why not say that when you focus on the mincha, the handful of the mincha, it has the following characteristics, and based on these characteristics, I will include other things, and not as we just said, which in fact was very inclusive. We just got finished saying, just like the wood enables the mincha to be offered, so too anything else that has wood that enables it to be offered, and we would thereby include a long list of items. Maybe we should look at the handful of mincha, which in fact is our example, but emphasize another aspect of it. And based on this additional aspect, only then will we include other things. Let us say as follows. Maha prat mefurosh. Just like the handful of meal offering is clear, she'achirim boyin chovela umateres. Other items are needed for it, and it, the handful, is a matir, and allows the remainder of the meal offering to be eaten by the Kohanim. Af kol, so to anything else that has this dual aspect, she'achirim boyin chovela umateres, that other things are necessary for it, and that it itself is a matir, umai nihu, and what other thing can be included if you use this standard? Levoino habo bebozichin, the shari olechem, the levona that comes in the bozichin as part of the that which sat on the table in the hechal from week to week. The bozichin were the names of the containers that held the levona, and when they are placed on the fire, the lechem upon them, the 12 loaves that constitute the lechem upon them, can then be eaten. So you have the levona of the bozichin. We can say about it, achirim boyin chovela, it needs wood to enable it to be burnt. Plus, they have the characteristic that they are, the bozichin are matir, something else, namely the lechem. The komets would then have taught this, being that the komets has that same, the same two aspects to it, that it needs wood for its burning, and it's matir, the shirayim of the mincha. Aval, the Gemara goes on, mi diachrin olo, but to suggest that other things would need salting, that we will not say. The Gemara answers, mi deitzterich me'al minchoscha, velo me'al domacha. You'll notice there is a squiggled arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim up the page, you will see where this comes from, this particular quote comes from. It came from the Brisa, at which point the Gemara thought maybe Dam, in fact, blood does need salting, and therefore we needed to pull out a scriptural source to exclude the blood. So when dealing with exclusions, we saw the Torah went out of its way to exclude blood. But anything else that has some similarity to mincha, even if it's not necessarily a matir, but it has a some aspect, what's called a tzad echod similarity, one aspect similar to a mincha, that will be sufficient for us to require it to be salted. And that aspect will be that other things are needed for it, even if those other items are not necessarily matirs in and of themselves. Let's now read this inside. From the fact that we darshan the pasuk of me'al minchasa, don't have the salt cease from the mincha, but that requirement does not apply to blood. Michlal, we can infer dahanach kulhu that all the other examples that we saw in the Brisa, we saw the different kinds of emurim and the evorei ola and the ola sa'of, all of those other things, they all can be included in the salting requirement. Dahanach kulhu asu bechad tzad. Chad tzad means one aspect of similarity to the mincha, namely achirim boyin chovala, even if the item itself is not a matir. Omar Mar. Here we have a quote from that which we saw above. Me'al minchascha velo me'al dimcha. This, by the way, is a quote from the Bryce above. You'll notice where there was a squiggle underline in the upper part of the page. That's where this particular quote is coming from. A minor correction that we have to make is that we indicated in our Mivneh marking, our Mivneh heading structural note, that the structural phenomenon of the volcano form appearing in a ma'akav fashion will last till Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. As far as this section of Gemara is concerned, the current discussion just came to an end with this Omar Mar citation, whereby we're going to go back and focus on this other aspect of the Brisa. We can say ahead of time that on Omid Beis we will see a new back and forth marking that will in fact continue till Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, but it does not represent a continuation of the discussion we just concluded. So before we go any further, we just want to note that we had seen in the narrow lines of the Brisa, the narrow lines of the Gemara, a long Brisa that required some fundamental understanding. The Brisa had started with a seemingly general approach to what needs salting, anything that's similar to a mincha. Then the Brisa took a turnaround and said, I would only know mincha, not anything else. And the result of that turnaround was the suggestion that maybe the pasuk is to be darshaned as a klal uprat. The Gemara then told us that it's not a klal uprat, but rather it's a klal prat uklal, which tells me I'm entitled to include things beyond the mincha. Then the Gemara discussed, all right, if you're going to include things beyond the mincha, what else is to be included? And the Gemara raised a couple of different suggestions along the way of what might else be included. And finally, the Gemara said, I'll tell you what, we're going to darshan klal pratu klal. We're going to look at the example, the prat, and say as follows, anything else that has some aspect of similarity to the prat will be included in the need for salting, even if whatever else I'm including isn't totally similar to the prat. It's still, as long as it has some aspect similar to the prat, that will be sufficient for me to require it to be salted. Turning to the Gemara, where we left off, Omar Mar, me'al minchasa v'lo me'al dimcha. The Brisa had told us that the me'al minchasa is saying that needs salt, to the exclusion of blood. Blood does not need salting. The Gemara asks, V'eimo me'al minchoscha v'lo me'al evorecha. Maybe we should say that the mincha needs the salting, but limbs of sacrifices do not need salting. So the Gemara answers, Mistabro evorim have le lirbuye. In most likelihood, I will include as needing salting the limbs. and I'm not going to include the blood. And why do I choose to include the limbs as requiring salting just like the mincha? Shekain, and in parentheses you see two expressions which in effect constitute made of seven letters. They are seven aspects that the they are a list of aspects that the Gemara will point out right now. There are actually six aspects. The Aleph may very well represent the word Adarabah, which is the turnaround point that will appear on the top of the next page. Nevertheless, we have six aspects that the komets of the Mincha and limbs have in common. Therefore, I am not going to want to exclude Evorim from the salting requirement when the Evorim are so similar to the Mincha. What are the aspects of similarity? Acherim boin choivolo kemosa. Kemosa means like it, like the Mincha. With regard to the limbs, there's something else that is required for it. We saw before the wood is needed for it, just like wood is needed for the Mincha. Ishim kemosa. Ishim means fire. Limbs and the Mincha are placed on the fire, as opposed to the blood, which is not. Bachutz kemosa. That means that limbs and mincha are done exclusively in the Azorah, outside. Bachutz means outside, relative to the Heichal. This is as opposed to blood, which sometimes is done in the Heichal. There are Chatois HaPnimios, whose blood is sprinkled in the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash. Nosar Kemoisa, that they become Nosar, that if one were to eat the mincha or the limbs of a sacrifice beyond their time period, there would be an avera of nosar. Tum'ah kamosa, they are subject to tum'ah. And mi'ilo kamosa, if one benefits from the mincha or from the limbs on a personal benefit level, he will be in violation of the mi'ilo sin. It's pointed out that blood does not have these averis, even though it's quite forbidden to consume blood. Nevertheless, if one had, let's say, consumed leftover blood, he would not be in violation of nosar. And Rashi at the bottom points out there are three psukim that exclude blood from each one of these averis: nosar, tuma, and mi'ila. Therefore, when after all is said and done, there are six things Evorim have in common with the Mincha, and just like the Mincha needs salting, it would seem logical to say, though Evorim, which has so much in common with the Mincha, also needs salting. Ah, the Gemara takes a turnaround and says, Adarabo, to the contrary, Dam Havele Liribuye, I should include blood in needing salting just like the Mincha. Shekain, you find in common with the Mincha, blood has in common with the Mincha, Matir Kemoisa, just like the handful of grain offering, meal offering placed on the fire is Matir, the Shirayim, the remainder for the Kohanim to eat, so too the sprinkling of the blood is Matir, the meat to be consumed. So they're both Matirs. And number two, Nifsal B'Shkiyas HaChama Kemoisa. With the setting of the sun, if a handful of meal offering was not offered, it's too late. You can't offer it any longer. So too, if you didn't sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice by prior to sunset, too late. You can't do it anymore. As opposed to Evorim, you can actually offer the Evorim up all night. So we see that the blood has two points in common with the Mincha. And if the Mincha requires salting, let us say that the Dam, the blood, should also require salting. The Gemara responds, Hanoch Nefishon. The points of similarity between the blood and between the Mincha and the Evorim, Nefishon, are greater. Six points in common between Mincha and Evorim versus only two points in common between Mincha and blood. Therefore, I will choose to exclude blood from requiring salting and not exclude Evorim. Omar Mar, Shomeani Afilu Eitzim V'Dam Shenikru Korban. this, in order to find where this quote comes from, take advantage of the little arrow that we have to the side of the Gemara, indicating Omid Aleph, and if you skim up the left-hand side of the Gemara text on Omid Aleph, you will find a parallel arrow indicating where this particular quote is coming from. Before continuing in the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of our Nosei topic heading that appears in the outside margin. Braiso de Liel, the Braiso that we saw on Omid Aleph, de mi'et etzim mitzorech lemelach, that excluded wood from needing salting. Eino kerebi will not be in accordance with Rebbe's approach. De Omar, Rebbe holds, or he said, the me'achar de etzim nikroyim korban, since etzim are referred to by the term korban, bo'inon nami melach, the wood that one brings to the Beis HaMikdash will need to be salted. You heard correctly, the need to salt the wood. That, in fact, is Shitas Rebbe. Therefore, the Gemara will deal with authorship of the Braisa on Amar Aleph, which indicated that the wood does not need to be salted, that would not seem to be in accordance with Rebbe. As the Gemara unfolds, we will have a need to keep track of a back and forth structure or style. We will accomplish that with our ma'akav marking. We have a volcano form featured here with the narrow point facing up. That will represent a question and kushios, questions, and narrow part facing downwards, tshuvos, responses. The Gemara, from the third line from the top, we read, Omar Mar, Shomea Ani, I would conclude that you require salt, afilu etzim vidam shenikru karbon, that even wood and blood that are referred to elsewhere by the term korban, and as a result of that, the pasuk that says al kol korboncha takriv melach, I'll call korban min choscha b'melech timlach. Had I had just the word korban, the Braisa taught, I would think that you would need to include wood and blood for salting. The Braisa had then said, well, the word mincha appears. So with the appearance of the word mincha, I know to exclude wood and blood from needing salt. So at the end of the day, the Braisa on Omid Aleph is teaching you that salt is not needed for wood. The Braisa opened up, though, with the comment that etzim are called korban. Question. This is a long question. You can see that we have a long question indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a kuf in a little volcano form, with the narrow part facing upwards, and in this sukya, that represents a question. So the Gemara asks, Man Shamis Lei, whom have we heard to say, Eitzim, Man Shamis Lei, Omar Eitzim Ikri Korban, that wood is in fact referred to by the term Korban? Rebbe. So at first glance, it would then see the Braisa that said, I would think that wood which is called a korban needs to be salted. Who would speak like that? Rebbe says that. The Braisa went on to say that wood does not need salting. But le Rebbe, mivabo melach. According to Rebbe, in fact, wood does need to be salted. Therefore, the Braisa opens up representing Shitas Rebbe and then goes on to contradict what Rebbe stands for. The Sanya, we see here the background for that which was just taught. It might be pointed out, we see with our markings that we have a bracketed section starting here from the Desanya till the second line from the bottom. We also have a bracket length indicator that you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The purpose of these brackets is not for skipping purposes, as we often do when we see brackets, but rather it's to indicate that the essential question, the main question, has been raised up till this point, and that is the seeming built-in contradiction to the Braisa. The Braisa, on the one hand, represents Shitas Rebbe when it says Eitzim are Nikra Karban, and then the Braisa goes on to teach that Eitzim do not need salting. If we skip the bracketed section in order to get to the answer immediately, you see it says Sami Mikan Eitzim, delete from the Braisa the mention of wood, so that the Braisa, which goes on to exclude the wood, or goes on to exclude, it's not going on to exclude wood, because the Braisa is not dealing with wood. If that be said, so then we don't run into any contradiction, we'll say, within Shitas Rebbe. That having been said, that the purpose of these brackets is to enable you to see the question, the answer to the question immediately, we'll now proceed with reading the bracketed section, understanding that within the brackets will be brought all of the background that shows that Rebbe holds that wood, in fact, needs to be salted. The Sanya, the bracketed section. We have a Tanaic source. You can see it appears in a frame, 3.5 lines in length. Korban. The Braisa opens up with a posuk that's quoted in Rashi, Nefesh ki takriv korban mincha. Melamed, the Braisa goes on to say, Shemisnadvim eitzim. The posuk, the word korban, seems to be an extra word. The pasuk could have said nefesh ki takriv mincha, but it said korban mincha. So this comes to include something else that a person can volunteer to bring. And it teaches me that a person volunteers or binds himself, if he chooses to bring wood. The kama, if one accepts upon himself a vow to bring wood, how much is he expected to bring? Shnei gizrin. Two logs. The chain hu omer, and we have a posuk that indicates that wood is referred to by the term korban. The posuk says, "V'ha'goroloys hipalnu al korban ho'etzim." You can see that we've dashed, underlined the expression korban ho'etzim, indicating that etzim is referred to in the posuk by the term korban. Rebbe omar etzim. Korban mincha hein. Eitzim are classified as a korban mincha. And as a result of that, 2 points, utunin melach, utunin hagosha. Wood needs, therefore, to be salted at like a mincha, and it needs to be brought to the corner of the mizbeach, just like your standard meal offering. The omar rava. Rava and Rav Papa on the next line will elaborate on Rebbe. They say, L'divrei Rebbe, Eitzim, Tunin, Kamitza. If one brings an offering of wood, he'll have to also bring a handful of the wood. It could be that he has to grind up or break up pieces of the wood and offer it as a Kamitza, as a handful. The Omar Rav Papa, L'divrei Rebbe, Eitzim, Tzrichim, Eitzim. That if one brings 2 logs of wood, one will have to bring additional wood along with it. In other words, other wood to burn the 2 logs which are placed on the Mizbeach. After all is said and done, what do we see? We've come to the end of the long question. We see that Rebbe refers to Eitzim recalls Eitzim Korban, and Rebbe says that Eitzim, being that they are called Korban, or even called Korban Mincha, they do require salting. So how can you have a brisa on Amud Aleph that says Eitzim are called Korban, and then go on to teach that Eitzim do not require salting? Therefore, the Gemara responds, Sami Mikan Eitzim. Take out of the original brisa the word Eitzim, and therefore the brisa, which goes on to teach something that does not require salting, the dam does not require salting, but the wood, in fact, does require salting. And the brisa could be resolved with Rebbe. The Gemara asks, V'yela kro limute mai, the pasuk that we saw at the beginning of the brisa on Amud Aleph, it mentioned minchoscha, and it went on to say af kol, anything else that's like the mincha needs salting, as opposed to something else that does not need salting. So that pasuk was coming to exclude what exactly? V'yela kro limute mai, I limute dam, if the pasuk of minchoscha is coming to exclude blood from needing salting, well, blood's excluded from another source. Me'al minchoscha nafka. That was learned from the expression me'al minchoscha, not from the opening mincha word that appeared in the pasuk, but rather from this expression me'al minchoscha that had been cited later in the pasuk. So the question is, then, what is, in fact, being excluded from needing salting? We're saying wood is not excluded. Wood does need salting. Dam, even though it's excluded from needing salting, it's excluded from a different expression. The Gemara answers, Apik Eitzim. In fact, delete Eitzim, as we said, from the Brisa. Va'ayol Nesachim. And put in, instead, Nesachim, the wine, as something that does not need salting. Desanya, the source teaches, Aval hayayin vadam vo eitzim vakturis ein teunin melach. We've dashed underline the expressions that are necessary for this discussion, and for the Hemshecha Gemara as well. What we see here, we've emphasized with a dot underline the word hayayin. And it says yayin, and at the end it says does not need melach, and the nesachim is the wine. Therefore, what comes out at this point is that wood, as far as the brisa on Chof HaMelav is concerned, will need salting in accordance with Rebbe, and nesachim are that is that which is excluded from the term minchoscha at the beginning of the pasuk. The wine does not need salting. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.